Hello, good morning. Come on in. Come on in. All right. If we could have Nate, you want to grab the doors on the way in? I don't like watching the pigeons come in and steal our food while we're focused on the Bible. So, all right. Good morning. It is good to be back. You can grab your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 55, but almost just kind of put a bookmark in it because we'll be going to it, but not immediately. Isaiah 55. Okay. All right, while you turn there, I'll pray here briefly. Well, Father, we believe that you are good. And you are the author of good. And every place we touch good, God, we touch you. And I thank you for the good that is in our lives. And I thank you for all the good you've given us, including your word. And I pray that you would motivate us this morning. And God, that you would teach our hearts, that you would open our eyes to see what we should see. Thank you that you are a teacher. Thank you for these people that by faith came here, believing there is something more than just the physical that is happening here. So Lord, we come to you with that faith. God, that we actually praise you, that you hear, that you can actually teach us, and that you will, and all things, all kinds of things that are happening right here. God, I thank you that you are among us. You're truly among us. Lord, may you have more of your way, and you would start with that this morning, in Jesus' name. We've been walking through a series, basically kind of on maybe the foundations. So if you were a believer and you had just come to become a believer, I might sit down with you or someone might sit down with you and they would walk you through some things that you need to understand about your life now that you're a Christian. One of the things they would sit and they would walk you, you might get walked into if you were a new believer, is someone would come to you and say, hey, there's this thing called the church and God loves it. And you should love these people, and they're your spiritual family, and we did. And we had a verse. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. That, and we talked about that. We talked about the church. Well, then we talked about a harder subject. We talked about God being our priority. And we talked about this verse. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Right? And we talked about the cost. That we've come to Christ and it's free and there's forgiveness and there's wonders, but there's a cost. And the cost, according to Jesus, is yourself and your relationships and your comfort. That he wants to be first. And so today, we're going to ask this question. How can I honor the gift that God has given us in the Bible? That's the question. And this is the topic. God has given us the church. And he's given us the Bible. And so now we will open to Isaiah 55, which you guys all turned to, but I was praying. And we're going to read this whole chapter. Verse 1 of Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty. come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples and a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. Hallelujah. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. And instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for the everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Some good news in there. Okay, what we're going to focus on here is verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire. And you know, as I read this whole section and I read the Bible talking about the word, one of the things that really catches me is just the word is a gift. It's a gift. We've been given something. I like this verse in 1 Thessalonians. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. And I love the phrasing of that, because it rings in my ears the truth that it is the word of God. And when I was a kid, I used to go into these big, now I lived out east, and you go into a church, and it's just the architecture, and you walk in, and it would... And they made the architecture so that you would sense the grandeur and the holiness of God. I used to walk in and go, wow. And to think, the words of God, the words of the Creator. I like this quote by Rick Warren. It said, God's word generates life, creates faith, produces change, frightens the devil, causes miracles, heals hurts, builds character, transforms circumstances, imparts joy, overcomes adversity, defeats temptation, infuses hope, releases power, cleanses our minds, brings things into being, and guarantees our future forever. Yeah. The Word of God. Job said this, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. You know, Job made his thing
the Word. That was his thing. You know, sometimes I ask people, especially in college, I ask, what do you geek out on? Trying to get to know somebody. What do you like to geek out on? Everybody has their thing they geek out on. Job geeked out on the Word. How do we honor the gift that God has given us in the Word? Well, verse 11 here in Isaiah 55. Second half says, the Word will accomplish what I desire. It's God talking. He'll say something and it accomplishes what God wants. And achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's Word comes and it has authority. One of the verses in versions in Psalm 55 said, the purpose for which I commanded it. God uses his word and it is a command. Psalm 12 says this, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver, purified in a crucible, like gold, refined seven times. Seven times the number of perfection. It is purified and in the crucible again and again and again and again until there is no imperfections and it is perfect. That's the message. Augustine, one of the fathers of the faith, said the faith will totter, right? The faith in the world, your faith, it'll all totter, it'll all go crazy if the authority of the Holy Scriptures loses its hold on men. We must surrender ourselves to the authority of Holy Scripture, for it can neither mislead nor be misled. J.R. Scott. We must allow the Word of God to confront us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thought and behavior. Starts getting into my questions here we should ask ourselves. We sit in front of the Word. We read it. We sit in front of a teaching. Do we allow it to get into us? I know what that feels like when I go, you know, I'm not going to allow that to affect me. I have decided not to be convicted by that today. And yet, Augustine says, we must surrender ourselves. John Stott says the same thing. We must let it. And it's amazing that I have the power. Somehow God has allowed me the free will to take God's powerful word and to say, not today. And these men are saying, no, you submit under its authority. Will you receive God's word with authority? I looked up authority in the dictionary, dictionary.com, you know. It said this. The power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. Like, wow, I let the word give me orders. So then I looked it up in the thesaurus, you know. This is what pastors do. Authority equals power, jurisdiction, command, control, mastery, charge, dominance, dominion, rule, sovereignty, ascendancy, supremacy, domination, influence,
sway, the upper hand, leverage, hold, grip, and then of course it says informal, clout, pull, muscle, teeth. And I go, I like those. Do we allow the Word of God, when we read it, to have teeth into us? When there's a wrestling match, do we let the Word have the upper hand? Does it have control over me? And that's the choice we're making. It has dominion. I mean, God's Word declares it as powerful. Right? So Jesus is there and he goes, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus has been dead for 3 days. It's not Lazarus that just goes, oh, I hear you, Jesus, let me come. It is God's power of his word. Just the whole world just did what Jesus said because he commanded it with power. In his word, he commanded the sea and it was calm. He commanded and life came about in creation. And that's the word of God in its power and in its authority and in this book. Now, this is a very interesting verse, and my kids, it's a long verse, and my kids have been trying to memorize it all week, which has given me time to think about it a little bit. It's Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The version they're memorizing is this: it discerns the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Well, that verse says a lot to me because I go, whoa, 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 whoa. Because my kids go, I didn't know my heart could think. I go, yeah. Yeah. I didn't either. So then I'm reading the word, and this inanimate thing, this book, this truth is discerning things about my heart and what I want to do and my intentions. And I go, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, I missed the beginning of the verse because it's alive. The word is judging. The word is discerning. The word, it's understanding. It's alive. It understands you. The word understands you. That's comforting and maybe not so comforting. The word knows me. Now here's my question the question I ask myself, and I'll ask you guys. When I open the Bible to read it in the morning, or whenever I open it, do I come before the Word with that faith? Going, I'm coming before you, and I believe there's something happening here where I'm confronting something that's alive. That's going to discern things about me, that is going to direct me and command me, and I'm bringing to my reading that faith. Or am I just kind of reading the story of Jacob? That's an interesting story. He kind of wrestles with God. It's kind of weird. And to bring that faith and receive the Bible. Okay, that's our first point here. We'll let the Bible have authority over us. Now, the second thing I notice, you're going to help me. From verse 9 down in Isaiah 55, what are the blessings? This is point two. Recognize the blessings of the Bible. So let's start with Isaiah 55. What are the blessings? Well, I'll start you off. It's kind of like water to a thirsty ground. That's kind of the analogy. It's kind of like water
I like water. Anybody wanna pull anything out? Should I read them to you? It's free? Yeah, it's free. That's a joy and peace. Joy, peace, life. It's delicious. It nourishes. I see that. Bread. Good smelling bread from kneaders that's free outside. Yeah. Songs. All right, this is what I want to do. I want to go through some blessings of the Bible. This is totally arbitrary. This all comes from my head. Well, and verses. So, if you're taking notes, point two is recognize the blessings. We're going to go through letters because the numbers are all taken. A, the Word of God infuses us with faith. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. I love it. I love it. The Bible tells me directly how to get faith and feel strong in my faith and feel like nothing could push me over, and that faith that gets through trials. And I love that song, that hymn that says, "Come thou fount of every blessing," and it says, "Bind my heart," right? Like it's picturing a strong faith, and I can get strong faith by the Word. You need to hear it, you need to be in front of it. You need to let it sink into me. The blessing of the Word in your life is more faith. I love it. B is the Word brings us the Spirit and life. I put them together because they're kind of the same. The Spirit and life, because Jesus put them together. Here's one thing Jesus said. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Here's 1 Peter. I'm going to keep moving. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. See, the Word gave you birth spiritually. You've been spiritually born, so you've been spiritually given life through the Word. You will continue to be given life through the Word. John 6, it is the Spirit who gives life. That's why the Spirit and life are together. And the flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are Spirit and life. So the words of Jesus that you read, the Word in this book, are Spirit and life when you touch them, when they live inside you, when you read them. They're Spirit and they're life. I want Spirit and life. I want it. Jeremiah, this is fun. Your words were found and I ate them. And your word became to me the gladness and joy of my heart. Gladness and joy. That's what I want. And I think the key word in this verse is became. Because you start, or you start in your reading, you start with the Word, you start, and you just start, and it becomes, it grows on you, it envelops you, and it becomes the gladness and joy of your heart. Guys, we are all seeking joy. You're all seeking gladness. You're all seeking life. We're all doing it because we're all human, because we want it to feel good. We want beauty. We want life. We're designed to do it. And in every advertisement and every commercial and every toy I buy, all promises life. And it's all trying to pull me from the thing that actually brings me life. And even the good and the fun and the stuff I touch, the life, the enjoyment from it can be so quick. But we all really want deeper joy, abundant joy. And we become deceived. The word brings life abundantly and lasts forever. Here's one, a blessing of the word, the blessing of the Bible. Point C is success. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Prosperous and successful, that's what we're all trying to do in life. We want to be prosperous, we want to be successful, that's what we're trying to do. This is the promise that if we meditate, and I go, is it really meditation? Like, is it really tied to this? It's just like, wow, there's more than one verse like this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. I don't know what you want to prosper in. I don't know what you want to succeed in. And all I know is you have in you what's in my heart is, and I want to succeed with God. I want him to say, this guy's prospering. I want to be green. You know, I was thinking with my kids, you know, I want to adequately teach my kids the life of God. I want to do that. I want to succeed in doing that. And there's no promises or anything, but I want to succeed. And this verse is telling me, Brandon, you meditate on the Word of God. You meditate on the Word of God because it will help you succeed in what you want to do for God. It will help you succeed in just the eyes of God and valuing what God values. And we want to succeed. All right, nourishment. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. The Bible everywhere causes this nourishment. The words of God and nourishment are really tied. We'll do one more. As newborn babies long for the guileless milk of the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation. I left the version in there that said guileless, because I like it. Because every person I talk to and everything I read all has a bias. And I talk to people all the time that want something from me. And it's all underneath and it's all coherent and there's deceit happening everywhere all the time. And some politician makes a statement or some athlete, there's stuff underneath. There's stuff underneath. And when I read the word, it's guileless. I can trust it. I don't know if I can trust anybody else. But this is true. This is without deceit. This is without bias. This is pure. This is pure milk, and I love it. Nourishment, it nourishes your soul. Next one, self-awareness. Point E. Listen, there's a thought out there that I know myself the best, and I know what's best for me. I don't need anybody. And there may be some truth to the fact that I know myself best. There's also a truth that says that your heart is deceitful above all things. And so because sin is in the world, and it's in you, there are spiritual blind spots you do not see. So God has taken the Bible and he's given it to us. And he has given it to us. And what it is it's a mirror. And if you look at the mirror, not a glance, but if you look in the mirror and you study what's in the mirror, you will see yourself the way you really are. And part of what that does is it drives us to grace. And not just grace from the Word, grace from the God, from the God of the book. From the God the book points to. You receive grace. You understand yourself. And here's the verse. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Self-awareness. You will get self-awareness. Point F. This one's great. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. I want to tell you one of the things I've noticed in younger people is a lack of hope. There's a lot of people who don't believe the future is going to be better anymore. A lot of people get really discouraged. And there's a whole generation that need hope. And that's part of what's missing. Hope. Encouragement of the Scriptures. Give hope. And if you're younger here today, and you want more hope and belief that there is good coming, the encouragement of the Scriptures. And I am sorry that I called this side of the room young. And I am sorry that I am not calling this side of the room young. And I feel like I offend people both ways, but it doesn't matter. Hope. G. I'll let you fill in G on your own. We'll do H. You will know the truth. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word and you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus, H is freedom. And then Jesus turns this verse into a prayer in John 17. Truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Oh man. Sanctify means to make free, to make holy. Jesus is praying for this. He's praying for this for us. The word he said is free from our slavery. That's the promise. That's what it's saying. I'm going to bring faith to that. Here's I, personal transformation. This is kind of like the last one. And I love the word picture at the bottom of chapter 55. It says, instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. I have in my yard plants that have died because it's been cold, really cold for Arizona. It's because the Gaudis moved and they brought it. I'm blaming it on the all on the Gaudis. And so these thorny desert things that are in my yard don't like it. And so they look dead. And this is what's going to happen, I'm hoping, is that they're going to get some sun and some warmer temperatures and maybe a little bit of water, and from kind of the roots and down at the ground is going to grow up a little green shoot. And maybe
maybe another little green shoot, and it's going to come back. There's going to be life from this dead thing. And that's what this verse is saying. And 55 is this. It's all dead, but what's going to come out of it is not thorns anymore. It's not whatever that thing is in my yard. But a fir tree is going to come out. A big, beautiful, green fir tree that birds are going to build nests in. That's what's going to come. Instead of the thorn bush growing up, the fir tree is going to grow up in my yard. Why in the world is that going to happen? According to the passage, because he's commanding his word, and that's what it's going to do. And in my life, I look at it and I'm like, I am the thorny bush. And God's going to make a fir tree. Or a cypress tree. Or a myrtle tree, depending on what version you look at. It's going to be a cool tree. And I've been in Maine, and I've seen fir trees, and I love the picture. I'll take it. God says he sends his word to do that to me and to you. Make us a fir tree planted by water when we used to be thorns. Transformation. He sends his word for transformation. Personal transformation. All right, let's keep going. Wow. We might have to skip some of this. Let me say this before I go on. When you read the Word, when you read the Bible, can you have faith that part of what God is doing is making the fir tree grow? Is changing from the thorn bush? I think that's part of what it means to bring faith as we read, that God is doing something, that God is, he's acting, that the word is discerning my heart, that something is happening that's different than when I read whatever book. Let me bring faith for that. Okay. I need to finish up. Does anybody want the rest of these? Yeah, you're going to have to write fast. J, wisdom and guidance. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Verse. K, as you'll be given ministry, God has something for you to do. L, you'll know God. All scripture, it all points to Jesus. M, peace. Let's go to the peace verse. It's fun and simple, and you'll recognize it because it is. Those who love your life, great peace. Prayer should be heard, and if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I didn't say it. I didn't say that. I didn't make that promise. If you have problems with it, don't argue with me. You need to wrestle with the guy who made the promise. And what kind of authority you want that word to have in your life. A verse kind of like it. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And oh, you'll be taught deep spiritual things. So, here's where we're going. And here's just the easy application for us. Yeah, let's abide in God's word. That we'd be comfortable there. It would be our home. That we'd know its rooms. That we'd experience the blessings and amenities. I want you to pick up your smartphone if you have one. Pick it up, turn it on. I want you to If you have it, go find your screen time. I know Apple does this now. In your settings. In your settings, you can find your screen time. I tap on my number, and then it brings me. And then I can look at today or the last 7 days. I don't know how many of you guys can do this. I think this side of the room could probably do it if you have an Apple phone. So the last 7 days. So do we see who spent the most time looking at their phone the last 7 days? What is that? A flip phone. God bless you. God bless you. Give that woman another piece of cake. You know, there's people trying to find those. It is becoming a treasured possession. All right, once you find it, I want to ask you a question. Do you have time to become a man or woman of God's Word? Yeah. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You can fill it in the cracks. And I know sometimes we're looking at your calendar, or sometimes we're texting people or listening to something. We could listen to the Word. We could text people the Word, and people could text us the Word. Supposed to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, there's a words to a lot of great hymns on the internet. I don't know if you knew that. We can be people of the Word. And this says that the message of Christ should dwell among us. The Word should live among us, among the community. And for it to live among the community, it needs to live in me. And we can bring it, and we can bring it to each other. And because we do that, all those blessings come into this. To listen to the Word and meditate on the Word and read the Word and study it and talk about it. For most of the 2,000-year history of the church, you could, if you wanted to read the Word, you had to be a priest. Now we can. We have that privilege. And now that we can, are we going to treasure it? I put in some cool quotes. The soul can do without everything except the Word of God, without which none at all of its wants are provided for. Martin Luther, and here's John Wesley, began a church movement. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. How to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this very end, he came from heaven. You catch that? He came from heaven to teach us the way to get to that blessed shore. He keeps going. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be a man of one book. Sorry. Oh, let me be a man of one book. Here's George Whitefield, his contemporary. I began to read the Holy Scriptures upon my knees. One way to let it have authority, an outward show of it. Laying aside all other books and praying over, if possible, every line and word. This proved meat indeed, and drink indeed to my soul. I daily received fresh life, light, and power from above. You know, the first lines of Isaiah 55. Say, come, all who are thirsty. And he keeps going, why spend money on what is not bread? And he's saying, all those other things don't satisfy. And you can come if you're thirsty. And that's my prayer, and that's what I want to cultivate in my heart. And that's what I want us to cultivate together. It's just that we'd be thirsty. That God's Word really would be a treasure for us. I want it to be a treasure. So let's pray.
Oh, Father, I just recognize, God, there's probably never been a culture in the entire world that is as distracted as we are. God, I carry around in my pocket a distracting device, and yet I know the Word changes us. And you are mysterious, and the Word is mysterious, and it's all mysterious, and it's deep, and it's theological, and we didn't get into all that. Lord, we just know it's a blessing. And would you help us turn things off and put things away? And would you help us think about your Word and you? Know the God of this book. Would you help us, Lord? We understand your Word in our lives is foundation for us as Christians. God, I pray we would be excellent at the foundations, and I thank you for all the blessing of your Word and the blessings you want to give. And you bless us in one sense, whether in your Word a little or a lot. But we tell you by faith right now, God, we want more of your Word, your life, your Spirit, your peace, your nourishment. And we could go on from your Word. Would you give that to us and lead us there, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen. All right.